Let us turn our Bible to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in a ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? May the Lord bless us in the reading of his holy word. Now and then we do read and hear news about great storms that hit many nations around the world. Just last year there was that very fierce hurricane that hit a city in the United States. It was so devastating that large parts of the city were down in floods, in deep floods, and thousands of lives were lost. And there was also, around the same time, a super typhoon which battered Japan, triggering landslides and floods and causing transport chaos. That tropical storm caused thousands of people to become homeless and killed hundreds of people. And of course, we can never forget the Indian Ocean tsunami that hit many parts of Asia, countries like India, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. Now, as we think about all these disastrous floods around the world, are we not thankful that the Lord God has preserved our little island, our beloved Singapore, from being lashed by hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, cyclones? Surely it is because of the Lord God's mercy upon us. We truly cannot take it for granted. But though we may not have experienced any real physical storms, that like that of the fierce hurricane, do we not experience various storms of life in our own personal lives? And when these storms that come in various degrees of difficulties, troubles, disasters, and when they do pound upon us, how would we survive them? The storms of life are indeed part of our experiences in our lives as we live on this in this world, full of troubles. The Lord said that in this world, you shall have tribulation. Did not he say that? All of us do at one time or another suffer from certain disease, some sickness, loss of loved ones, bereavement, failure, disappointment, rejection, or even loss of jobs. Your life may be one that is smooth sailing at one moment or for now, but there will be a time when, yes, you might find yourself in some storm of life which can be so severe that everything that you have may be taken away, and even the lives that you love, the lives of your loved ones, may be taken away. Oh, just like that of righteous Job. Job, how he lived so righteously before God, and yet he experienced extreme storms of life. Now, since we cannot escape from the storms of life, how then do we cope when we do encounter them? Does God know and does he care that we do go through storms of life? Our text in this morning's message is an account of how the disciples struggled through a very severe storm in the Sea of Galilee. But praise and thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ was with them on board the same vessel. And there are three things that we like to learn from the very fearful experience of the disciples on how that we may learn how to react in situations like this when we meet with the storms of life. Do take note of the three C's to help us weather the storms of life from this very wonderful passage. Firstly, let us remember that the Lord is in control of all the circumstances in life that we all are in. Yes, in our passage, the Lord instructed the disciples to cross over to the other side of the sea in verse 35. Dear friends, could you be always confident in the Lord's leading your life? Here the Lord Jesus told the disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side." But apparently the disciples seemed to miss that point, very important point, which the Lord said. And so when they encountered a storm somewhere in the Sea of Galilee, they started to panic. And they feared that they would perish in the middle of the sea, never to reach the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But listen to what they told the Lord in verse 38. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They were so fearful that they would drown in the sea instead of getting over to the other side. As the Lord had said, the Lord's instruction was, "Let us pass over unto the other side." No, the Lord did not say to them, "We will try to sail across to the other side." And guys, you know that in the Sea of Galilee, something sudden can just happen, like a fierce storm. And when it does happen, you might be drowned and will not get over to the other side. The Lord did not say this to them. The Lord said, "Let us go over to the other side." The disciples, perhaps when they heard the Lord saying this, they might have thought that, well, if the boat trip is peaceful, it will be possible for us to cross over to the other side. But not if we were to be caught in a sudden storm with the whole boat flooded and about to sink. How could we make it? They forgot that they had who the Lord is. In fact, they forgot all that they had seen in what the Lord Jesus Christ had done before they took this trip. The Lord Jesus Christ had performed many miracles of healing the sick and casting out devils, and how he showed all these things, how he manifested his power and control over things in our lives. Yes, they had witnessed all these things, and yet they forgot who the Lord is, that he is indeed in control. They had noted his great authority when he taught the word of God to the people in the synagogue. And yet, at this moment, they forgot that the Lord God is in authority, that he's in control. When they had their own personal life experience with trouble now, they could not appreciate the reality of the Lord's authority in what he said and in his sovereign control over all situations in the lives of people. Dear friends, do you believe that the Lord is indeed sovereign, that he is powerful and he is great, and that he is in control of all situations in our life, and that it is real? It is for real. It is not just some knowledge that we know Yes, it's the Lord's attributes. Just some knowledge that we know, some theological knowledge that we know it so well and we can even repeat them. But there's no practical application. Do we appreciate that God is good and loving and merciful and gracious and powerful and all things? But in turbulent times, are we still able to acknowledge these wonderful attributes of God? That He is all this? Can we rely on God? For who He is when things are not going the way when we desire? See how the Lord taught the disciples a great lesson of His ability in controlling over all things. When the Lord awoke, He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, in verse 39, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And the disciples feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Dear friends, truly we will spare ourselves from much unnecessary agony if we in the first place remember who our Lord is. And if we are able to relate that knowledge of who God is, how great He is, and His all His attributes in our personal lives, in our own personal lives, especially in times of great anxiety. Let us learn from another apostle, the Apostle Paul. Yes, when he was caught in a storm in a great sea, remember there was once he was on his way to Rome, and he was caught in a very terrible storm. But he was not fearful at all. He was not afraid of getting drowned in the sea, because he had the confidence in what God had promised, what God had told him, that he must be brought before Caesar. An angel was sent to him to tell him that. And so he was certain that the Lord is in control of his life, and of course the vessel in which he was in, and that he would live. And yes, though his life was in danger in the midst of the sea, in a terrible storm, but he was confident in God's control that the Lord God will bring him to Rome finally. How was it that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same vessel as him in the Sea of Galilee were so fearful then? And that they had forgotten, seemingly, that the Lord is in control. Well, it was because that they were looking at their own problem. They were inward looking at their dangerous situation that they were in, and more concerned with their own lives, that they will drown, that they will perish. So they forgot who the Lord is, and that in fact the Lord was in the same situation as them, in the same vessel. Know that they did not go to Him immediately to ask for help. They depended upon their own strength, trying to get out of the situation. They depended on their own strength and their own ability to battle the storm. Perhaps they did not think that, well, the Lord Jesus Christ could really help them, though they had seen how He had helped so many people. Note their expression of wonder and awe when they actually saw how the Lord God calmed the storm with just His spoken words. Dear friends, are we sometimes like the disciples? Yes, when times are good, we remember God is great, how great He is, but when times are bad, do we think that God is so small that He cannot even help us and control over situations in our life? Someone said these words, that it is much easier to trust with when the sun is shining than when the storm is raging. Is it so for us, dear brethren? Are we at times like this? In times of sunshine, we may be singing wonderful hymns, "How great thou art, that God is able, and He's able to carry me through," and beautiful hymn like, "God is still on the throne." But in times when we are caught in some storms of life, do we forget who God is? And we do not come to Him immediately, and do not come to Him first, right away, for directions. Sometimes, without seeking the Lord's help, in terms of sickness, yes, do we panic? And then we go from one doctor to another to seek for the best cure. In terms of our children's need, do we desperately change from one tutor to another so as to help them to pass their difficult maths and their Chinese? Yes, do we often rush into doing things because we fear of being left behind and miss the opportunity of doing things, of losing out to others? And so we rush into things without waiting upon the Lord, without coming to Him to seek Him for direction. How often do we not take things into our own hands, forgetting that the Lord is still in charge and that He is actually interested in our circumstances? Of course, it is not that we should not be solving our problems without any sense of urgency, no. But it is that we should not leave our Lord behind. When we do our part in solving problems in life that we do encounter, we must always have a sense of waiting upon the Lord. Always. That He is there and He is still in charge. He is still in control. Some years ago, in my church, we had an elder. And he kept pushing us, the church, to do things for the church. Seemingly it is so, for the church, for the ministry, leaving us no time to pray, to wait upon the Lord and to be still and to know who God is, and that God is in charge and in control. And after some time, we just could not take it anymore. It was unnecessary struggle for us, having to listen to this man and telling us what to do, and no time to wait upon the Lord, and He's always hurrying us to get things done. And so we cry unto the Lord, please Lord, to do something for us, to deliver us. And we praise the Lord God. God is almighty, He is powerful, and the Lord removed him. Removed this elder, and we felt the need for us to lift up a little finger. Dear brethren, in times of struggle in life, let us remember that the Lord is indeed still sitting on the throne. He is still there, and in fact, He is with us in the midst of the storm. Remember to call upon Him. Do not leave Him behind the back of the boat. And do not forget this. Yes, it is very important, because our life is not getting to be, it's not going to be peaceful all the way in our pilgrimage to heaven. We will definitely come face to face with storms of life. Notice that the disciples, when they set sail into the sea, was it not tranquil? Was it not peaceful? Yes. It was so peaceful that the Lord, after a hard day's work, could find a place to rest, to take a little rest. Truly, we cannot take life for granted. Do we expect the sky to be always blue for us? God has not promised us that. Jesus said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side. He did not say that they will not encounter any problems. No. Along the way. But He does assure us that, yes, after the rain, there will be sunshine. This morning, when we wake up in the morning, before coming to church, when we saw the rain, were we disheartened? Did some consider of not coming to church even? Feeling so gloomy? Let us realize that when the Lord sends the rain, yes, it is a reminder of His blessings upon us, showers of blessings. And after the rain, there will be sunshine. Though we may trip and fall in our walk, we will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us with His hands. Life may not be smooth sailing, but there will be times when we are face to face with difficulties and troubles in life. And let us have confidence in the Lord that He will be there to see us through all the ups and downs in life. You may start off well in many things in life, peacefully, even though you think that you are in the Lord's will and He is there with you. Yes, you have prayed about it and the Lord God helped you to start certain things in life peaceably. Yes, perhaps a new home that you are starting, a new relationship, a new family, or some new venture in business, new course of studies that you are starting. But as you progress along, you encounter difficulties. trouble starts, and then in time, you find that you are deep in troubles. Will you then start to panic? Will you remember who the Lord is and that He is with you when you begin? Perhaps you may not be very sure in the beginning that you have His blessing, or you may be very sure in the beginning that you have His blessing to go ahead with your life, just like the Lord told the disciples to go ahead and set sail. Did He not? It was the Lord's instruction to tell them to go ahead to set sail. But when they met with the storms, the Lord Jesus Christ was with them. So always remember that the Lord is always there, and He's still there in whatever situation that you may be in. Do not forget to call upon Him to keep all calamities under control. Let Him take charge and let Him be the pilot. And do meditate on this always, that the Lord God is our pilot. Indeed, He is. Now, the second thing that we learn from the disciples' encounter is to recognize that the Lord does care for us, even in times of distress. Though the disciples were seasoned fishermen, yet when they encountered a storm, they were frightened to death. When they saw the fierce storm pounding upon them, and when they had failed to free themselves out of the situation after having struggled so much on their own, they noted that the Lord was still sleeping, and straight away they concluded that the Lord did not care for them, that they would drown, that they would perish. Dear friends, do we jump to such conclusions? Does Jesus care? Remember that very comforting hymn that we love to sing, Does Jesus Care? It was a beautiful hymn written by Frank E. Gruff. And as we sing the hymn, we are reminded that most of us do at times wonder if the Lord is really concerned with our life, especially during times of hurt, when the burdens of and cares of life weigh so heavily upon us, and the way seems so dark, and when temptation seems so difficult to resist, or when we must part with our dearest loved one. But as we sing the chorus and think of these thoughts, are we not encouraged with the answer that comes back triumphantly, saying in the chorus, "Oh yes, He cares. I know my Savior cares." Yet, though it may be a beautiful hymn and with such wonderful answer, the writer of this hymn had gone through many severe testings in his own life. The hymn was written during a time of severe physical agony, a time of great doubt and despondency, that Gruff finally turned to the scriptures for help, for comfort and strength. And truly, we thank the Lord God for His scriptures, that we can always turn to it for comfort and for strength, for help, for guidance and for direction. And that's what Gruff did. And when he turned to the scriptures, he came to 1 Peter 5:7, which says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And this wonderful verse became very meaningful to him in time of need. And so he wrote the lines of the hymn, Does Jesus Care? To express the feelings of assurance that came to him, that indeed, truly, the Lord Jesus cares for us. So in times of darkness or sorrow, dear friends, let us rest in the security of the truth, that the Lord Jesus truly cares for us deeply, and He will ultimately meet our need. Just when the disciples finally went to wake Him up, the Lord Jesus Christ woke up, and instead of rebuking them, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the wind and calmed the storm and taught them a lesson only after that. But truly, the disciples could have been spared from much agony if they had in the first place recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ does care for them, and they have gone to Him right away. If only that they cared enough to go to Him for help quickly. But they did not. Perhaps they did not believe that the Lord could do great and mighty things to help them in such terrible needs. Note again their surprised expression when the Lord calmed the storm. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him." So, dear friends, even in the day-to-day problems that we encounter, let us do remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, He does care. And if only that we care to go to Him for help, to come to the Lord and to seek Him for help and to acknowledge and to call upon Him to help us with His might, with His power, with His ability. And surely He will help us. He will deliver us out of our troubles, out of our difficult situations. For example, when we encounter difficulties in life and even in our daily life, in our work, in our daily work at the office, do we care to cry unto the Lord God for help, for deliverance? Or do we think that He does not care and so we do not go to Him, that there's no point asking Him anyway, He does not care? Well, once a brother in my church, he accidentally did something very terrible in his work. He's working with a computer company that designs computer systems for their clients. And he dealt with very large databases that were submitted by the clients for them to design the computer system. And he did a very terrible mistake in that he deleted a very huge database that belonged to the company's client. And truly, he was in deep hot soup. But as he cried to the Lord God for help, yes, this brother, he realized that the Lord God is control and the Lord God does care for us, even in situations like this. And he cried to the Lord for help and he came to the prayer meeting, shared with us, and we all prayed together. And truly, days later, we saw how the Lord God so marvelously delivered him. Eventually, the database was retrieved. How? Nobody knows how. But we know that the Lord is in control and the Lord cares for us, even in situations like this, in our daily life. Another sister, she also encountered a very big trouble in her work. She's working in a bank and she did some wrong transaction dealing with money. And her client, of course, was very furious and very angry and couldn't accept her mistake. And even though she apologized to him, the client, the customer, still wanted to press charges against her and go up to the top to her bosses. So the sister, in times of distress like this, she cried to the Lord God for help, came to us and asked us to pray with her. And how wonderful the Lord God so miraculously delivered her. Yes, the client suddenly decided to stop to press charges against her. Again, how? The only thing we know how is that the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is in control of all situations in our life. And He cares for us. We have a Lord who is sovereign and a Lord who is caring. So remember to call unto the Lord. And He will answer you and show you great and mighty things which we know not. Please do not mistaken that the Lord Jesus Christ does not care like what the disciples assumed, just because He did not jump out of sleep immediately and steal the storm for them. Surely the Lord had His purpose in delaying to help them. The Lord knew surely what was going on, but He did not come to them to deliver them. He delayed to help them. Do we think that He does not know the situations that we go through in life, the difficulties, the storms of life that we are going through? Certainly the Lord knows. But sometimes He delays to help us for a certain purpose. Yes, and He did it for the disciples. And this is the third thing that I want us to realize, that the Lord challenges us. Yes, He challenges us to look up to Him, especially in times of storms in life. He challenges us to trust in Him and to be more dependent upon Him. Note that after the Lord calmed the storm, what did He say to the disciples? In verse 40, He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Yes, the disciples' faith were put to a stormy test. Let us realize that even when we go forth to do certain things in life, as the approval of the Lord, we must not expect that we can escape storms. We had earlier seen the Lord was the one who told the disciples to set sail across over to the other side. And the Lord ordered the disciples to go on this mission. It was at the Lord's command that the disciples went on this mission. And so they obeyed and acted accordingly to the Lord's direction. Yet they encountered the fiercest storms that they ever encountered. That they were so fearful of dying. And even so, when they were in trouble, the Lord delayed his coming to deliver them out of the terrible distress that they were in. Now, why the delay? Why did not the Lord rush to deliver them right away? Dear friends, sometimes have we not prayed and waited upon the Lord, and we ask the Lord God for directions in life and to do certain things, and the Lord gave us the answer, yes, go ahead, do it. And but when we go ahead with it, and after some time, we find that we encounter trouble. Do we complain and do we blame the Lord? And when we seem to be drowning in problems, are we blaming the Lord that the Lord God has asked us to go ahead and now He's allowing us to go through the trouble? And we ask a lot of questions. Why, Lord, in the first place, did you not tell me to go and into this relationship perhaps, and now I'm in trouble in it? Well, if we do think that the Lord God does not care and is in not control, and asking why is the Lord not coming to help us, do pause and think. Yes, when we get into trouble and the Lord does not seem to rush to our help right away, is it not the Lord challenging our faith that we may trust in Him more? Is it not that the Lord would want us to pray unto Him more intensely and more unceasingly? Is it not the Lord trying us in order that we may be strengthened so that we may be able to encounter greater storms in life? Yes, is it not that as we wait longer, and the longer we wait, when the Lord God finally comes with His deliverance, we will praise the Lord truly, greatly, and we will truly rejoice exceedingly. And others also can rejoice with us greatly and give praise unto the Lord God. Is it not that when we have to wait upon the Lord's deliverance and others see it and finally the Lord delivers us, others also, our brethren, can also witness of the Lord's greatness, of the Lord's goodness towards us all. Some years ago when I was doing my engineering course, I remember that in my first year, which was supposed to be the easiest year to clear, to go through, yet I almost did not make it. There were 10 subjects that we have to do, and I failed 7 of the 10 subjects. In fact, that shouldn't be the case. We were told by our seniors that our first year is supposed to be the simplest, not a stormy year at all. And the second year is maybe even better. They call it the honeymoon year. But it is only in the third and final year, in the fourth year, that we will have to face certain storms, hurricanes and tornadoes. But not for me. When I was in my first year, I was already struggling. It was a stormy year for me. Yes, and though I worked very hard, but I was shocked when I saw the results, and I failed. Almost failed 7 of the 10 subjects that I set for. My world was turned upside down. I was truly discouraged and felt like giving up. But I thank the Lord God that He gave me His sufficient grace to press on, to look up to Him and to remember that the Lord is in control of our lives, of all situations in our life, and that He's the Lord who cares. And it was such time like this that the Lord God caused me to go into more intense prayer, to pray more intensely and to pray unceasingly. And even call upon the fellowship groups which I was in to pray for me. There were about 40 of them, and we all prayed together. And by the grace of God, when I took the exams again, managed to clear all of them this time, and could therefore to go on to the more difficult years to face greater storms. So truly, yes, the Lord may delay His coming to help us and let us to go through storms in life, Truly it is that he may help us. His intention is to help us that we may be able to face greater storms in life. Same as for my studies in FEBC. Do not just again think that, you know, it is a theological training and that so it must be the Lord's will, it must be well pleasing unto the Lord God, and so the studies in FEBC will be trouble free. Well, it is not so. In fact, from my experience, I find that it was even worse than my secular studies. Every semester we started quite comfortably, in the first 2 weeks especially, and when we sat still, it was peace. Peace and tranquility, but later on, after some weeks, we can feel the wind start blowing. Still calm and cool and comfortable, but in no time, dark clouds start to form over us, and we find that we are in for the storm of FEBC life. Yes, we were really flooded with assignments and papers and quizzes and duties about to sink. Was the Lord there to help us? Certainly. Yes, he was in the same vessel like us, waiting to deliver us from our troubles, from us sinking. But the Lord got delayed. Many times he delayed, and why? It is just that we might be put to the test, to the ultimate test. Then would we be truly molded and prepared later on for the even more difficult ministries ahead of us when we graduate. Dear brethren, is your faith being challenged now and then through some storms of life? Truly, we never know how much real faith we have until it is put to the test in some fierce storm. And that is the reason why the Savior has to delay his coming to help the disciples and to help us when we are in difficulties and distress, so that we will earnestly cry unto him and to trust in him more. Dear friends, you may not have met with real and turbulent physical storms in your life, but do you meet with various storms of life, and how do you react towards them? Are you in the midst of a tempestuous situation or relationship in your life? Is your business, your career, or some relationship, your family? Yes, for example, all these things are going through some tempestuous ups and downs. In times like this, let us firstly remember that there is a sovereign Lord God Almighty, that God is still in charge. Yes, regardless of what difficulties and troubles that we all do go through in life, whether it be family problems or financial problems or your business, your studies, your relationship, let us just be assured that the Lord is there and he's in control of all circumstances in our life. Secondly, please do not think that he does not care what you are going through in life. He certainly does. Yes, the Lord certainly does care for you and me, and so be ready to come to him, to seek him for help, for direction when in distress. Do not leave the Lord at the back of your rocking boat. He is waiting for you to come to him, and he will show us great and mighty things to deliver us. And thirdly, perhaps the Lord has allowed you to go through some stormy experiences in life so that he may wake us up from our slackening faith and to put ourselves under his divine protection. Yes, God does allow us to go through deep waters, and he sometimes sends storms into our lives. But do not be dismayed, for it is to challenge us, to challenge our faith and to build up our faith in him, that we may trust in him more. The Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon, said these words in one of his sermons: remember that we have no faith at any time than we have in the hour of trial. All that will not bear to be tested is mere carnal confidence. Fair weather faith is no faith. Dear friends, do you have fair weather faith? Or is your faith a tested, stormy faith? A faith that is not tested is a faith based on confidence in the flesh. If we are to ever to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His Spirit, our faith must be strengthened in some storm of life. So, dear friends, when we do encounter those storms of life, let us remember these three things. Firstly, that the Sovereign Lord is in control of all things. Secondly, let us be ready to call upon Him for help in whatever difficult situations, because He cares for us. And let us praise and thank Him for the challenges that He put us through, so that we may be more dependent upon Him always. So may God help us to weather the storms of life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how we thank Thee, Lord, for reminding us of who our Lord is and how great He is, and how loving and how caring He is towards us, even in our daily lives, in the daily problems and difficulties that we do face in life. And how we thank Him that You have loved us so much, and that You want us, Lord, to increase our faith in Thee, to trust in Thee. And so, Lord, You do put us through challenges in life to help us develop our faith in Thee. So, Lord, help us to always look up unto Thee and to trust in Thee, to be dependent upon Thee, to pray unto Thee always, knowing that Thou art with us, for Thou art in charge of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.